The Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eKatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack big ideas, make them clear, make them useful for you. And today, we are definitely cracking open a big one. It's Atomic Habits by James Clear. Seems like everyone's talking about this book.
Oh, absolutely. It really is an indispensable guide, I think, because let's face it, most of us have been there, right? You start something new, a diet, workout, maybe a savings plan.
Yeah, full of enthusiasm.
Exactly. And then, boom, a few months later, you're kind of back where you started. So our mission today is to get past that whole reliance on just, you know, sheer motivation or willpower.
Which usually runs out pretty fast.
It does. So we're going to explore Clear's system. It's a framework, really, for building good habits consistently and, just as importantly, figuring out how to break those bad ones.
And the central idea, it's almost backward to how we normally think about big changes. Mm-hmm. We assume, you know, you need this huge, dramatic overhaul to get results.
Right, like a massive effort.
Yeah. But Clear says, nope, that's not it. Real significant change comes from these tiny, almost invisible 1% improvements done consistently, day after day. He calls it the compound interest of self-improvement.
It's fascinating when you think about the scale shift. Trying to be 100% better tomorrow, you're setting yourself up to fail. But aiming for just 1% better each day, well, over a year, the math is incredible. You end up, what, 37 times better?
Wow. That's huge.
It is. It shows that the daily effort might feel small, almost insignificant, but the long-term result, if you stick with the system, could be absolutely dramatic.
Okay, so who's the person behind this really powerful idea? James Clear. He's known as an expert on habits, decision-making, continuous improvement.
Yeah, and he's great at taking these complex ideas from, like, psychology, biology, neuroscience, and boiling them down into steps you can actually take.
But his credibility, it feels really grounded, doesn't it? It's not just theory. There's that story about his injury.
Oh, absolutely. You really can't understand his perspective without knowing about that. He had this horrific accident in high school, hit in the face with a baseball bat.
Just devastating reading about it. Multiple fractures, major surgery. He couldn't even, like, control basic movements for a while.
Exactly. And his recovery wasn't some quick fix. It was this incredibly slow, painstaking process, rebuilding everything bit by bit.
Based on small habits, right? Like studying for just 5 minutes because that's all he could manage.
Precisely. Or adding just a tiny bit more weight in the gym. So he literally used these principles to rebuild his life, going from that traumatic injury all the way to becoming an academic All-American athlete.
That experience just gives his advice so much weight, you know? He's lived it.
He really has. He's not just a theorist. He's proof that this stuff works even under the absolute worst circumstances.
Okay, so let's dig into the core philosophy then. Why do we struggle so much with big goals, like losing 50 pounds or saving a huge amount of money? Clear says we're focused on the wrong thing. We need to shift from goals to systems.
This is probably the biggest mindset shift in the book. Goals are fine for setting a direction, you know, pointing towards the mountaintop. But the system, that's your daily routine, your habits, the process, that's what actually drives your progress.
It's the path and the vehicle, basically.
Exactly. And he has this killer line. You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems.
That hits home. So if my goal is, say, launch a side business, but my system involves checking email every 5 minutes and randomly browsing.
Your system wins every time, no matter how much you want that goal. The system is like gravity for your behavior.
Okay, it makes sense. So how do we build better systems? He talks about identity-based habits.
Right. This is the psychological anchor. He breaks down change into three layers. There's outcomes, what you get, processes, what you do, and identity, what you believe about yourself.
And most people start with the outcome, like, I want to lose weight.
Yep, the surface level. But Clear argues that real, lasting change has to start deeper, from the inside out, with identity.
So it's not just about doing the thing, but becoming the kind of person who does that thing.
Exactly. Every single action you take is like casting a vote for the type of person you want to become. I want to be a writer. Writing one sentence is a vote for, I am a writer.
Even just one sentence.
Even one sentence. Or just putting on your running shoes for 2 minutes, that's a vote for, I am a runner. The size of the action initially doesn't matter as much as casting a vote consistently.
Wow.
You gather enough of these small votes, and eventually your self-image starts to shift. The behaviors become easier because they align with who you fundamentally believe you are.
That's a powerful shift from forcing yourself to being that person.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get practical. He gives us this toolkit, right? Based on the habit loop cue, craving, response, reward, the four laws of behavior change.
Yeah, this is the real how-to. Let's start with law one. Make it obvious. This tackles the cue, the trigger. We spend so much energy fighting our urges with willpower.
Which is exhaustible.
Totally. Instead, we should focus on designing our environment so the good habit is the easiest, most obvious thing to do.
He calls the environment the invisible hand, right? Shaping what we do without us even noticing. Like if you hide your vitamins in the back of the cupboard,
you're less likely to take them. Out of sight, out of mind. So make the cues for good habits visible. Put your running shoes by the door. Leave your guitar out on a stand.
And he offers a specific technique here. Habit stacking.
Yes. This is super practical for making cues obvious. You link a new habit you want to build onto an existing one you already do automatically. The formula is simple. After a current habit, I will new habit.
So like after I pour my morning coffee, I will meditate for 1 minute.
Perfect example. The coffee is the existing anchor, the obvious cue. It takes the guesswork out of remembering the new habit. You don't need extra mental energy.
Okay, law one, make it obvious. What's next? The craving.
Right, law two, make it attractive. This gets into the why, the motivation, what makes some habits feel so compelling.
Dopamine.
Exactly. But here's the interesting part, clear highlights. Dopamine isn't just about the reward after you do something. It spikes most strongly during the anticipation of the reward. That craving is what pulls you forward.
So we need to make the anticipation of the good habit feel good.
Precisely. And one way is temptation bundling.
Uh-huh.
You pair something you need to do with something you genuinely want to do.
Like only listening to your favorite podcast while you're exercising.
That's a classic. Or maybe you only get to watch that trashy reality show you love while you're doing chores like folding laundry. You start looking forward to the chore because it's linked to the pleasure.
Clever. This law also touches on social stuff, right?
Oh, hugely. We are social creatures. We naturally imitate the habits of the groups we belong to. So if you want to make a behavior attractive, join a culture where that behavior is the norm. Want to eat healthier? Hang out with people who prioritize healthy eating.
Makes it feel normal, even desirable. Okay, law three.
Law three, make it easy. This targets the response, the actual doing of the habit. Fundamentally, we're wired to follow the path of least resistance. We do what's easiest.
So it's less about forcing yourself and more about reducing friction.
Exactly. Yeah. Lay out your workout clothes the night before. Prep your healthy lunch ingredients over the weekend. Anything that removes steps between you and the good habit.
Make it effortless. Or as close as possible.
And conversely, add friction to bad habits. Want to watch less TV? Take the batteries out of the remote and put them in another room.
Okay, but the killer app for this law, I think, is the two-minute rule.
Absolutely brilliant. It reframes the whole start of a habit. The goal isn't perfection, it's just showing up. Master the art of starting.
So you shrink the habit down until it takes less than 2 minutes to do. Read before bed becomes read one page. Do yoga becomes take out my yoga mat.
Exactly. It sounds almost trivial, but it's psychologically powerful. It's so easy you can't really say no. And crucially, it still counts as casting that vote for your desired identity. You showed up.
Okay. Obvious, attractive, easy. What's the last law?
Law four. Make it satisfying. This addresses the reward. And here's the big challenge. Good habits often have delayed rewards. Being healthy takes months. Financial security takes years.
But our brains love immediate gratification. That donut right now feels way better than abstract health benefits later.
Precisely. So we need to engineer some kind of immediate satisfaction for our good habits. And that's where things like habit tracking come in.
Like putting an X on a calendar every day you exercise.
Yeah. It sounds so simple, but it works. That little X gives you an immediate visual proof of progress, a small hit of satisfaction that says, I did it. It creates momentum. Don't break the chain.
It bridges the gap until the real long-term rewards kick in.
Exactly. And because we're human and we will slip up sometimes, there's a crucial recovery strategy here. The never miss twice rule.
Ah, yes. This is important.
It is. Missing one day is okay. It happens. It's an anomaly. But missing 2 days in a row, that's the start of a new unwanted habit. So the rule is simple. Forgive yourself the first miss, but get back on track immediately the next day. Don't let one slip derail the whole system.
That feels much more sustainable than aiming for impossible perfection.
Yeah.
Okay, these laws provide a great framework. Now, let's connect this to that amazing real-world example you mentioned earlier, the British cycling team.
Yes. This story perfectly illustrates the power of aggregating marginal gains, those 1% improvements. For literally a century, British cycling was, well, pretty mediocre. No Tour de France wins, very few Olympic medals.
Just kind of irrelevant on the world stage.
Totally. Then Sir Dave Brailsford came in, and his whole philosophy was seeking out 1% improvements in absolutely everything, not looking for one giant breakthrough.
And they went into obsessive detail, right? Like optimizing bike seats for comfort, testing different massage gels.
Even noticing that dust collecting on the bikes in the team truck could slightly hinder performance, so they painted the floor white to spot dust more easily. Wow.
And they figured out sleep was critical for recovery. So they had the athletes travel with their own custom pillows and mattresses to ensure consistent, optimal sleep no matter the hotel.
That's dedication to the 1%.
It is. And the results were stunning. Within just a few years, they dominated the Olympics, won multiple Tour de France titles, hundreds of tiny improvements compounding into massive success.
It really proves the point. But it also highlights something else Clear talks about: the need for patience, the plateau of latent potential.
Ah, yes, the plateau. This is crucial. It's that frustrating period where you're putting in the work, making those 1% improvements, but you're not seeing results yet.
And that's where most people give up, right? They think this isn't working.
Exactly. Clear says the results are latent, they're building up under the surface, but they haven't hit a critical threshold to become visible. You have to trust the system, keep casting those votes, even when you're in that valley of disappointment.
Because eventually, if you stick with it, the progress becomes exponential, like the cycling team. Precisely. You just have to push through that initial plateau.
Okay, so let's bring this all home for everyone listening. How can you apply these laws practically to make life maybe 1% better?
Okay, let's take a few areas. Finance. Law three, make it easy. Automate everything. Set up an automatic transfer to your savings account the day you get paid.
Takes the decision-making out of it. No willpower needed.
Exactly. It just happens. For productivity, use Law One strategies, like implementation intentions. Don't just say, "I'll work on that report sometime." Be specific. "I will work on the quarterly report tomorrow at 9:00 a.m. at my desk with my email closed."
Making the cues super obvious and locking it into your schedule.
Right. And for self-control or breaking bad habits, lean heavily on Law One, but inverted. Make it invisible. And Law Three, make it difficult if you eat too much junk food late at night.
Don't rely on willpower to resist the cookies in the cupboard.
No, get the cookies out of the house, design your environment so the temptation isn't even there, increase the friction dramatically. That's way more effective than just trying to be stronger.
It really boils down to engineering your environment and your routines rather than just relying on feeling motivated. So as we wrap up, what's the final big takeaway here?
I think it's shifting your focus. Long-term success, according to Clear, isn't really about hitting that one massive goal. It's about committing to the process, committing to continuous incremental improvement, showing up every
It's
day.
about the system, not just the summit.
Exactly. The process itself changes who you are. It builds the identity. So maybe the most important question isn't, "What huge goal can I set?" but
Top
rather,
tiny 1% action. What small vote for the person I want to become can I cast right now or today?
that's it. That small vote is where it all begins. It's how you start building the identity you want, one atomic habit at a time.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekantra Foundation.